The following sermon was preached Lord's Day morning at Grace Reformed Church by Pastor Gary McNamee. For more resources like these audio sermons and other Reformation-era study helps, please visit our website at gracerpcna.org. Now listen in as we continue our study of the book of Ephesians, where we look to Christ giving us His light.
Please take your Bibles now and turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to read verses 1 to 14, but our focus passage this morning is going to be verses 3 to 14. We'll read now Ephesians 5 verses 1 to 14. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us, and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we do give you praise this morning, Lord, that in Jesus Christ we are the light in the Lord. We thank you, Father, for these words that encourage us, strengthen us, and move us, Lord, by faith to walk in the light that has been shown upon us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, as we hear your word, we pray, Lord, that you would throw its light upon us. Help us to understand it, shine it in our hearts, that we may walk in such a way that brings glory to you and to your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week we saw from verses 1 and 2 of chapter 5 that we are called as new creatures in Christ to walk in love as Christ has loved us, forgiving one another as Christ has sacrificially gave himself for our forgiveness. We were called in verses 1 and 2 to walk in love. In verses 3 to 14 now, the Spirit of God now calls us as new people in Christ to walk in the light of Christ. To walk in love and now walk in the light. And verses 3 to 14 are another way for Paul to illustrate to us the truths of being made new people in the Lord Jesus Christ. New creations in Christ Jesus, which is really talking about our regeneration. That as old sinners and old people and the old man, we have been made new. We have been made alive, though we once were dead and we once were darkness. So Paul is talking about here about the new man who has been regenerated with new life. And if you have been regenerated, you who are in Christ have been born again. And not born again, not given new life to live the old way, but you have been born again to be a new man, a new person, a new woman, boy, and girl in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is who you are. If you have so learned Christ, if you have heard Christ and been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus Christ, that is who you are. So just as a new man in Christ Jesus, we are to walk in a different way by walking in love and imitating God. As a new man in Christ Jesus, we are also to walk in a different realm. A different realm in this world. There are two realms in this world. There is darkness and there is light. And you are called, as a new person in Jesus Christ, to walk in the light. Paul refers to this in Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 to 14, saying, "Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins." If you are in Christ, you have been removed from that realm of darkness and translated into the kingdom of Christ, which is the kingdom of light. You have not only been changed in your person, but you have been changed from one realm to another, from darkness to light. And why is that? Because Christ is light. He is light. And that's why being in Him, we are in this new realm. John 1:9 speaks of Christ as the true light, which gives light to every man in the world. And as we are the children of God through Christ, then we are children of light. And we are to walk in the light. Because as verse 8 says, and we're going to see here in a moment, we are light in the Lord. In verses 3 to 14, we will see that Christ has given us His light so that we may walk in the light. And let me say to you, that is very intentional on Christ's part. It's very intentional that He has given you His light so that you can walk in the light. That's His design for you. In this passage, we're going to see three things. That one, in verses 13 to 14, and we're going to start on the back end of this passage first. But in verses 13 to 14, we're going to see that Christ has given us His light. And in verses 3 to 8, we're going to see that He has given us this light so that we would not be deceived by the darkness. And in verses 8 to 12, we will see that He has given us His light so that we would walk in the light. So first, let us look at verses 13 and 14. As I said, we're going to start here in the back end of this passage simply because it gives us the sense of this section of Scripture. It reminds us of who we are in Christ Jesus. Paul, if we were to read this, we might get the sense that Paul is telling us, here is what you need to do and what you don't need to do. And that is true, but that is not the bigger sense of the passage. The bigger sense of the passage is, here is who you are. And you are light in the Lord. So verse 13 and 14 shows us that Christ has given us His light. Look at verse 14 where it says, "Awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." Here, Paul is quoting from Isaiah in a futuristic sense. He's quoting what Isaiah was said was going to happen, but now he's bringing it to the Ephesians and to us, and he's really telling us, this has happened. You have been awakened. You have been raised from the dead. And you have been given the light of Jesus Christ. And so this is not a futuristic sense. Here in verse 14, it is who you are. We are the recipients of this prophecy from Isaiah chapter 60. The glory of God has shone upon them, us who are in Jesus Christ, who is the light of God. And this is the sense of what Paul is saying here. You're no longer in the dark. You're in the light. And the light of Christ has been shown upon you. You have been woken up from the dead. You have been given His light. So arise from the dead and walk in the light which Christ has given you for life. What does Christ's light do? What does it do for us? Well, it does several things, and here are just a few. His light enables us to see God's glory. The light that Christ has shone upon you, the light that Christ has given you, enables you to see God's glory. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 4:6, "For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It is in the light of Jesus Christ that we see the glory of God. Do you ever sometimes wonder how it is that people can't see the things that you see about God? Well, this is it right here. Because they are in darkness and you are in light. Cynthia and I were driving around yesterday, and it just came upon me that what an amazing thing it is that we can see the things of this world and what God is doing and what He has been doing and how they all work together for His glory. We can see that because we are not in darkness, but we have been given the light of Jesus Christ. We can see it. We can understand where the world has been. We can understand where the world is going. And we can understand what God is doing in this world. This world does make sense, though it is in the darker side of the world may seem to be chaotic. We see what God is doing. We see how God is working throughout all history to bring about His promises for His church. Why is that? Because we have the light of Christ to see the glory of God. His light enables us to see that. His light also brings life to us. In John 8:12, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." And this is an indicative statement. It's not a command here. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." And he who has that light, he who follows me, will not be a darkness walker. He will be walking in light. That's just a cause and effect. If you have the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be walking in the light and you will have life. This is what happens when you are in Christ. His life is in you. His light is in you. You once were dead, but now in Christ you've been made alive. You once were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. The light of Christ that He gives us also exposes evil. John 3:19, Jesus said, "And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world. And men love the darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God." The light that Jesus Christ gives to you enables you to see God's glory. It gives you life and it exposes evil. And you have been given the light of Christ here, as we see in verse 14. The church, God's people, are the fulfillment of that prophecy in Isaiah 60. The light that was going to arise and show God's glory has come in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you are that light if you are in Christ. And now that you are children of God and children of the light and not the darkness, you must be walking as children of the light. It is your new nature. You're no longer walking in darkness under the power of Satan. And do you know that's exactly what Jesus Christ told Paul? Here is your mission. In recounting to others what Jesus did for him in Acts chapter 9, where we don't get all the conversation between Jesus and Paul, but in Acts chapter 26, verse 18, Paul shares more of what he heard. And this is what he heard the Lord Jesus Christ say to him. "Paul, here's your mission. I'm going to have you open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive the forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by me." This was Paul's mission as he went about to preach the gospel, to throw the light into the darkness. And this walking in light is part of our sanctification. The more truth and light that we are given, the more we can walk in Christ's footsteps. And you won't do it perfectly because you still have that sin nature. You still have that sin nature that you are wrestling with and struggling with. But even when that happens, even when sin comes into our life, even when we are pursuing sin, the person who is walking in light will turn from that sin, repent, and confess it and receive forgiveness. But walking in the light will be the character of your life. It will be the character of your life. There may be instances and episodes of sin and even looking like you're walking and are walking according to darkness. But you, as a children of light, are light. And you, this will be your character. And this is what Jesus is telling us when he says that if you're following me, you will not be walking in darkness. You have been given the light of Jesus Christ. That has actually happened. We need to believe that by faith. That I have been given the light of Jesus Christ. His light has shined upon me for reasons. Designed, intentional reasons that I may walk in the light. It is a natural thing, isn't it? It is a natural thing for a child of darkness to walk in darkness. It is a natural thing for a child of the light to walk in the light. It is natural. It is supernatural. And the reason you can do it is because you have not just had a light, any light turned upon you and shined upon you. You have had the light of the light, Jesus Christ. That is supernatural. That is a supernatural saving and sanctifying work of the Lord God. How then do we walk in the light of Christ? Christ has given us his light so that as we see in verses 3 to 8, we will not be deceived by the darkness. We will not be deceived by darkness. That's one of the things that light does, doesn't it? It removes the darkness. And Paul launches from verses 1 and 2, speaking of walking in love as Christ loved us, to listing works of darkness, which those who are in the dark do walk in. Look at verse 3. We're moving back now to the front of the passage. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. And notice that here in verse 3, after talking about walking in love according to Christ Jesus as imitators of God, he starts out with the word but. And so he goes on then to list a series of contrasts. These words are in contrast to walking in love. Walk in love as Christ loved us. But fornication and all these other things are not walking in love. They are contrary to walking in love as children of God. You know, Paul could have listed a whole bunch of things here that would have been contrary to walking in love. He starts off with some really tough topics. He says, but fornication. We can wonder why Paul went there, but he went there. And so he wants us to go there with him because this is a topic that was deadly in their day to people, and it is deadly in our day as well. In verses 3 and 4, he is talking about fornication and all things related to it. And what is fornication? Literally, it means the selling of sexual purity. But it is used to describe scripturally any sexual relationship outside of marriage. But even the selling of sexual purity applies because sex outside of marriage is trading yourself for a fleeting pleasure that God did not design for you. That's fornication and everything related to it. This would include looking at pornography, fantasizing about sex, having sex before marriage, sex with anyone who is not your spouse. These are the things that those who are still in darkness do. These are the things that characterize that kind of person. And notice in verse 5, Paul says, for this you know, that no fornicator, speaking about a person, unclean person, nor covetous man, talking about persons, in other words, these titles, these labels, are talking about people who this is the character of their life. This is what they do as people of darkness. There's no doubt that many of God's people struggle with these sins. But Paul is not saying that because you struggle, because you sin, that you are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. The people of darkness will not inherit the kingdom of God. The people of light who still struggle with sin will inherit the kingdom of God. But he is calling us away from from these things. And so the people of light who struggle with these things, wrestle with these things, and know them as sin, and come confessing to God them as sin, and asking for His forgiveness, that is how the children of light act. But notice that Paul also adds to this act of fornication, of pursuing other people's bodies, the idea of uncleanness and covetousness. And these are just more of the same. For fornication is unclean, and covetousness is unclean. It is unclean because it is impure. Fornication is impure sexuality. And God is calling us to a radical purity in our sexuality. To not be walking in darkness in this area of our life, but to be walking in light. Fornication is coveting because it is an act that says, I am not satisfied with where God has me in my life today. Coveting is a desire for more than one who has been rightly given marriage by God. In fornication, there is coveting. And so hideous is this to God that He doesn't even want it to be named among you. You are to be so far from it that no one could even accuse you of it. No one could even name it among you. Why? Because it is not fitting for the saints, as is said here in the last part of verse 3. Fornication in any form is uncleanness and covetousness, and is not for the holy ones of God, those who are being sanctified by Christ, who is the light. And I tell you, in the Christian church, fornication, sexual impurity, is not something that sometimes happens. If we were to know the truth, it happens a lot. And if we were to also know the truth, that many people in the church think it's not that big a deal. Everybody does it. And they have been thinking that way for a long time. Several weeks ago, I was in a conversation with a young man in another city, in another state, a man that I used to have an accountability relationship with and for. And I asked him how things were going in this area of his life because it was something that we talked about. And he told me that with his current relationship that he had gone this far in sexual impurity, but we didn't go all the way. It was almost a relief to him that he had only committed these many sins, but not this one. But friends, I want to tell you that that's just the step, the first step to going, what, as he said, all the way. Listen to what Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23 through 28 teaches us. It speaks of sexual impurity and its destruction, saying these words. And this is the word of God. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life, to keep you from the evil woman, from the flattering tongue of a seductress. Do not lust after her beauty in your heart, nor let her lure you with her eyelids. For by means of a harlot, a man is reduced to a crust of bread, and an adulteress will prey upon his precious life. Here's the question. Can a man take fire into his bosom and his clothes and not be burned? Can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be seared? Let me say to you in the strongest words, you cannot mess around with sexual impurity because it will crush you. Do not be deceived. Do not let it even be named among you. And Paul is not just talking about the act of fornication itself, but also, listen up, the foolish jesting, the coarse joking, the moronic talking about sexual impurity. Verse 4, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting for you. These things are not fitting for the Christian man or woman, boy or girl. And this is one of the things that is prevalent in our dark society today and has been for ever since even the time that Paul is writing. Or else he wouldn't have said it. But it's everywhere in our society. And sometimes we even invite it into our lives. Coarse joking about sex. Mocking God about His design and plan for sexual purity. These are the voices of darkness in whom there is no light. And we expect the world to act like this, to joke about God, and to speak foolishly. But they are not in the light. We are. And these things are not even to be named among us. Rather than speaking in those ways, we are to be speaking a different way. Be speaking in thankfulness and graciousness. Our speech is not to be foolish or moronic, but full of gratitude and thankfulness. And look at why. The last part of verse 4, Paul says, rather than being this way, we are to be giving of thanks. In verse 5, for this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. So that we are to be giving thanks, that we are not in darkness, that we are in the light. We have been given the light of Christ. We are to be speaking with gratitude for the grace that God has shown us in bringing us into the light. For as we read earlier in Colossians chapter 1, you once were in the kingdom of darkness. And as we'll see here later, you once were darkness. But now you are light. So such a transformation has taken place of taking somebody out of darkness and placing them into light. To take somebody who is walking in darkness and by the power of God enabling them to walk as a child of the light. Such a transformation has taken place that none of these things should even be named among us. And let me say, if you are currently practicing any of these things, the actual acts of fornication, the actual acts of any kind of sexual impurity in thought or deed and or in word, that the word of the Lord is calling you to repent today. To come to Him as a child of light and seek His forgiveness. And maybe you aren't doing it today. Maybe you have done it and you've yet to repent of it towards the Lord. Do you take these things lightly? Do you take these things lightly to where you joke about them or joke about other people or laugh at other people who are involved in these kind of things? The Spirit of God tells us it shouldn't even be named among you. And you shouldn't be talking. You shouldn't be joking. You shouldn't be laughing at other people who are walking in darkness. But rather you should be giving thanks that you are not a child of darkness anymore. That if you are in Christ, you have the kingdom of God. We see also here that Paul in verse 5 adds on to that list, fornicator, unclean person, nor covetousness or covetous man, or idolater. He adds on the word idolater because it was a common thing in their day for heathen worship to include temple prostitution and fornication. It was part of their religious culture and it was part of their culture. And is it not part of ours as well today? Is not sex and sexual impurity one of the biggest themes in the world of darkness? It's just rampant. Without any barriers, without any inhibitions, it is something that is permeating our society. And that is why we in the church have to watch out for it, because it will attack the church as well. Paul says, you know, the people who do such things, talking about their person and their character, this is the rhythm of their life, that they will not be in the kingdom. And so in verse 6 he says, therefore then let no one deceive you with empty words. Because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. You think you can be deceived with empty words about sexual impurity? Very often the church is deceived. What would be the empty words in which we could be deceived? Let me just give you a few. This is what we hear. This is what we could be deceived with. And the first is that sexual immorality will not reduce you to a crust of bread. In other words, it's not that bad. It won't affect your life so much. And that is deceitful. And I'm saying not only, the word is saying here, not only the acts of fornication and everything related to sexual impurity, but even and also the coarse joking, the foolish talking about such things. You say, well, I've done it before and it didn't reduce me to a crust of bread. then you are being deceived. Because you think yourself of something that you're really not. Because the Word of God says it does. And the Word of God says it's not even to be named among you. Another way that we may be deceived by the empty words of the dark would be that sexual immorality is not hated by God. That God really, He understands, He really doesn't care. It's part of who we are, it's how He made us, and so therefore it's not that big a deal to God. That is a lie. That those who make it their practice to be sexually immoral, will inherit God's kingdom. You see, there are those in the church who believe that if you have prayed a prayer and confessed your sin to Jesus, that there is no necessary change in your life. That's not necessary. That it is only by grace. All that matters is grace. And absolutely that is how we are saved, by grace through faith. But when that happens, there will be a change of life. As Jesus said, you shall walk in the light. Those who make it their practice as part of their character, as part of who they are, to be sexually immoral, Paul says here clearly in verse 5, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. But darkness tells us it's not that big a deal. And lastly, one of the lies that we hear from the dark is that sexually immoral people will escape God's wrath. Where clearly God says here that will not happen. The last part of verse 6, he says, for because of these things, sexual immorality, fornication, lust, thoughts, words, and deeds, foolish talking, coarse joking, because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon who? The sons of disobedience. And so you are not them. If you are children of light, you are not them. So in verse 7, Paul says, therefore, do not be partakers with them. Do not be partakers with them in sexual impurity, whatever form it may take, in deed or thought or words. And do not be partakers with them in being deceived about it. You have to be very careful. You have to be having the light of God's Word in your life. Young people, especially about this issue, you must have the Word of God in your life so that you will not be deceived by the darkness. Because it's coming. And it comes for you with much force. And you need the light of God's Word to defeat it and not be deceived by it. So that you will not become partakers with those who are in the darkness. And why is Paul telling us this? Because we can be partakers. We can fall, and we can join them, and we can partake with them. But he's telling us, do not let that happen. You are children of light. And if you have lived long at all, or maybe not even lived long, you will know somebody who has had their life crushed by sexual impurity. And we need to realize it doesn't usually start out with a big thing. Like anything else, it starts out small, and it grows, and it grows. And the more that you allow it to be with you and in your life, you become more comfortable with it. You see it not as sin. You see it not as something that God hates. You see it as a struggle. You see it as something that you're weak about. And you're being deceived. And then all of a sudden, it gets you. And that is why Proverbs said, you cannot put coals in your clothes next to your bosom and not be burned. You have to watch. And you have to have the light of God's Word. Oftentimes these things start with what we might call the smaller things, like lustful thoughts. We call them smaller, but they're not. Lustful thoughts, pornography on your computer or your phone or your television, video games, TV shows, all sorts of impurity that we invite and let into our minds so that then we become so used to it when it happens, it's too late. And as Proverbs says, we are reduced to a crumb of bread, a crust. You cannot play with hot coals and not be burned. Being sexually impure would have been the very natural thing to do when you were darkness, when you did not have the light of Christ, when you were the sons of disobedience and the children of God's wrath. You've been natural, but you're not natural. You are supernatural. In a sense that you have been given the light of Christ. You see, that was then, and as we go on to verse 8, we see that Paul says, "For you once were darkness." And notice that statement. He doesn't say you once were in darkness. That's true too. But Paul raises it up. He elevates this truth. And he says, not only were you once in darkness, you were darkness. You were darkness. All the darkness is the evil of it, sinfulness of it, rebellion against God. All this darkness is who you were. But then we see these precious words, those words that we see throughout Scripture. But now. But now. You are light in the Lord. And that's what he says in verse 8. You are light in the Lord. Verse 8 is the pivotal verse of this passage. It hinges. Everything hinges on verse 8. You once were darkness, but now you are light. He now says you are children of light, and therefore we should walk as children of light. Because in our old man we were darkness. We were darkness. But in our new man, we are light in the Lord. And that's what we see in verses 8 to 13. That Christ has given you His light, so that you may, by His light, walk as children of light. And I want to ask you a question, because it's vitally important. Do you believe that you are light? Because that's what Paul says here in verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. You have to believe that by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that you are light. And that's what verse 8 is telling us. This is who we are. It is your nature in Christ as a new creation. Do you believe that you are light in Jesus Christ? Because if you don't, then you're not understanding what God has made you to be in this new creature. You are light. And therefore you are to walk as is natural. And by the supernatural power of God, to walk as children of light. And that is why Jesus has given you His light, that you may walk in His light and walk as children of light. And so you have to ask yourself this morning, am I light? And how is one made to be light? Because you can't be a mixture of light and darkness. They don't mix. You are light. And Paul is talking about those who are in Christ, those who know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And so this morning you have to say, you have to ask yourself, am I light? Am I light in the Lord? Because if I am light in the Lord, then I am to be walking as light, as a child of light. You see, and if you are light, listen to me, if you are light, you cannot walk in darkness. You will fall at times. You will fail at times. You will sin at times. But the character of your life will be that you will be walking in the light. Because if that's who you are, you can do no other. It is who you are if you are in Jesus Christ. And this is what Paul meant in 2 Corinthians 6, verses 14 to 16. Now we usually go here when we want to teach our children that they should only marry Christian people. And this is a fine and good place to go, but it's more than that. It's principally speaking about darkness and light. And that's why we teach our children not to marry someone who is in the darkness, somebody who is not the light. But Paul says in 2 Corinthians 6, verses 14 to 16, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people." God is a God of light. And He is dwelling in you. And you are light. The people of the darkness have their God, the prince of this world, Satan. They not only serve in the kingdom of darkness, darkness is in them and is in their nature. You, if you are the people of light, have as your God the God who is light and in whom is no darkness at all. The light of Christ and who He is has filled you up. His light has been put into our hearts, giving us life and light. And this, Paul says in verse 8, is who you are. In the Lord. And only in the Lord are we light. Apart from Him, we would still be darkness. This is what Jesus meant when He said, I am the vine and you are the branches. We get our life from Him as He is light, and we are united to Him. We are light. We are light, and therefore must walk as children of light. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 to 16, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. What Jesus was stating here was a statement of ridiculousness. Nobody puts a light on. Nobody lights a light and then says, oh, I'm going to cover that light. Ridiculous. And so it is in your life. A light has been turned on. You have been given the light of Jesus Christ, and you are not to cover that light with the works of darkness. Paul says in verse 8, walk as children of light. And now he's talking about your sanctification. When he says you are light in the Lord, he's talking about your salvation and your regeneration. But now he says walk in the light, and he's talking about that sanctifying work that God does in you and with you and for you. It is how you live out this great truth that you are light. To walk in the light, as verse 9 tells us, is to be bearing the fruit of the Spirit, which is goodness, righteousness, and truth. And this fruit is something that comes from within where God is working. It comes from within as God works in the heart of a person who is light in the Lord. The Spirit of God who gives the light produces this fruit. Now Paul does not list here, as he does in Galatians, all these things that make up the fruit of the Spirit. But he just represents that whole thing with a few things. And he says first, the fruit of the Spirit, which is this fruit of light, is goodness. It is being benevolent to others, doing good to all, which is in contrast. And do not think that Paul has moved away from fornication. Goodness is in contrast to fornication. Fornication is everything that is not good. It is impure and it is totally selfish. Sexual impurity is always selfish. It is not good for anyone. It hurts and destroys everyone involved. And it is a perversion of God's goodness in marriage. Second, he says righteousness is that fruit of light of the Spirit, which speaks of justice, of doing the right thing. And fornication and everything attributed to it and with it is anything but the right thing. Righteousness speaks of justice. Fornication is uncleanness, which is not just or doing the right thing according to God's law. It is not just or righteous to misuse other people for your own selfish pleasure. That is not righteous, even if they are willing, even if they present themselves to be used that way. It is not righteous for you as children of light to participate in these things. Third, he says truth. Truth is speaking of the Christian person and his foundation for living, like we sang in Psalm 119. It is God's truth that we base our life on. It is God's truth that lights our path so that we may walk in His light. But covetousness is a lie. Covetousness says, God has shortchanged me and not given me what I need. Covetousness in regards to fornication and uncleanness says, God has not given me what I need. I need to take things into my own hands and meet my needs my way. That's covetousness in regards to fornication. A person of light knows God's truth and is satisfied with God's provision for him. And he walks in that light. He is not deceived by passions of the flesh and seeking to do his own will. But as verse 10 says, he is seeking to prove what is acceptable to God. He is seeking to prove, and that's what this word finding out means. It means testing and proving what is acceptable to the Lord. And so by living in the light, that is what you are doing, demonstrating, testing, and proving this is what is acceptable to the Lord. It's not that we are seeking to live up to a moral code that we have created or that the church has created. We are seeking to live in a way that is acceptable to God, to live in His light and His way. This is what Paul meant when he said in 1 Corinthians 10:31, "Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." The person who is walking in the light of Christ will be doing that. Will be doing what Christ came to do, to glorify God and do the will of Him who sent Him. And this is one of the things that Jesus did when He came to expose the works of darkness, as is stated here in verse 11. "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Not only are we not to partake of them, participate with them, but we're not even to be interested in them." And verse 12 tells us it's shameful even to speak of such things which are done in secret, in the dark. We're not even to have it named among us. You see these trends here? Don't even let it be named among you. Don't even let it be accused of you. Don't partake of it. Don't fellowship with it. Stay away from it, because it will crush you, and because you are light and not darkness. That's what Paul was dealing with, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, when he was dealing with the person in the church who was committing sexual impurity. And he told them to not have anything to do with this guy and to put him out of the church. But then he clarified this, and he said in verses 9 and 10, "I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people. Yet, I certainly did not mean with the sexually immoral people of this world, or with the covetousness, or extortioners, or idolaters, since then you would need to go out of the world." As we look in verse 11, it is clear that we are not to have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. But that doesn't mean that we build monasteries and separate ourselves from everybody in the world. We separate ourselves from worldliness, from darkness, by living in the light. Now, we may be working with those, and likely are working with, people who are fornicators, unclean, and coveting. We may be working with people who are coveting their neighbor's wife. We may have neighbors who are living in the sin of adultery and fornication and all kinds of idolatry. But we do not have to move away from them and go to a commune to separate ourselves from them. And we will likely be doing business with people who are in all kinds of these kinds of sins of sexual impurity. But we do not have to run away from them. In fact, it is these people that need to see our light. It is these people that need to see us living it out, as Paul says in Philippians, that we are to shine as stars in a crooked and perverse generation. Your light is to be seen by the world, by the filthiest, most impure part of the world. They need to see your light, the light of Jesus Christ. But how can they see it if you cover it? How can they see it if you participate with them in the works of darkness? No, you are not to be interested in their works, but you are to be interested in their person. Your light is to shine on them. Just as Jesus prayed in John 17:15 to God, He said, "I do not pray that you should take them out of this world, but that you should keep them from the evil one." Why does that prayer need to be made? Because we are in an evil world. We are amongst evil people, amongst evil influences. And so we need the power of God to keep us from straying and participating and fellowshipping with them. But we are also to engage these people who are in darkness. And we need to pray for ourselves. that God would keep us and not let us be left or led astray by deceitful, empty words, but we are to engage them. Paul says in verse 11 that we are to expose the unfruitful works of darkness, not fellowship with the works, but to expose the unfruitful works. And the word expose here means to convince with solid, compelling evidence. And you living and walking in light is that solid and compelling evidence that Jesus Christ has given you light, has changed your life, and saved you from your sin. It is not our job just to say, look, you're wrong for doing that, though that's true. Our job is to show them with God's truth why this is condemning to them, that they are walking in darkness. And our job is to give them the same light of the gospel that was given to you. You are to be light in this world. That is what light does. It shows truth and exposes lies. And so we are the children of light. And by living, working, eating, and even recreating with people in darkness, we have an opportunity to expose them to the truth. Otherwise, that they would never see, unless they see the light of Christ in you, in both deed and word and thought. And so how we live amongst them really matters. It is the light of Christ that we are to bring to them, to let them see what the real purpose for living is. That it's not physical and fleshly gratification, but the real purpose for living is to glorify God. And that's what a child of light does by walking in the light. Your life itself will be a reproof and a correction and an expose of those walking in darkness. But your life, matched with your words when you speak the truth, is shining the light upon the darkness of these people. And we need to keep in mind that's exactly what happened to you. That is exactly what happened to you. The light of God was shown forth in your hearts in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what needs to happen to them. They need to see that as well. And I will say to you what I already mentioned in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give of the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You have been given the light of Jesus Christ. You are the light of the Lord. And you are to walk in light. And so recall that you once were asleep, weren't you? You once were dead in sin. But you have been awoken. You have been raised from the dead. And you have been given, as Paul says in the last part of verse 14, you have been given the light of Christ. So walk in that light, in both word and deed, letting your light so shine that you may glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you for your word. We pray now, Lord, that you would use your Spirit to work it into our hearts and work it into our lives, that we may walk as your children in love and in the light that we are in Jesus Christ. We ask, Lord, for your help. In Jesus' name, amen.